Blog Talk Radio.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents The Dave and GC Rock Show. This is a show where we try to think for ourselves and offer thought-provoking, stimulating, informative, and entertaining discussion. Welcome.
Welcome to the Dave and GC Rock Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. You didn't have to, but you did. So we appreciate it. We appreciate it so much. And once again, we have a great show for you tonight. Lots of stuff to talk about. And my homie Dave is back from his vacay. So, yeah, he's going to be chiming in and doing his thing. But before we do all that, if you want to call into the show, the call-in number is 516-387-1705. Once again, that's 516-387-1705. And if you have a question or you got a comment or you got one on your dial pad, and that will let us know that you got something to say, and we'll try to bring you in as promptly as possible. If you email me, you can email me at gski@airwavesamerica.com. That's gski@airwavesamerica.com. And if you want to email Dave, you can email him at dave@airwavesamerica.com. That's dave@airwavesamerica.com. And we're also on Facebook, on Twitter, we're on TikTok, and all that good stuff. Me, I'm G-Ski Rocks on all of them, G-S-K-I-R-O-C-A-S, on all of them, except for Facebook. And on Facebook, I'm G-Ski Rocks, but it's spelled G-E-E-S-K-I-R-O-C-K-S. So, it's all the good stuff, and that's how you find me and all that good stuff. So, we got it going on. Dave, what's cracking?
Yo, brother, what's up?
Nothing much. Chilling on the ceiling.
Chilling on the ceiling.
Yeah. First, let's talk about the vacay. How was the vacay, man?
Oh, thanks for asking. Vacay was pretty awesome. I think I sent you a couple of pictures and maybe a video or two. Did I send you the video of me doing the big drop?
Yes, you did. Something I would never do. I'm not brave enough for that.
The big giant swing, folks. It's a 250-foot dolphin harness that they haul you up, and when you get all the way up to the top, you pull your own little ripcord, and then you kind of free fall for about 3 seconds, during which time your brain is asking your body, "What the hell did you just do?" you get up to the top, and it's, you know, there's a speaker up there. There's no people up there. There's a speaker up there. It says, "Okay, riders, 3, 2, 1, go." And then you're supposed to pull the ripcord. I had to take 2 more extra seconds. And then I started pulling the cord. Well, when you decide to pull the cord and you pull on the cord, and without really knowing how far you have to pull it, you pull the cord and nothing happens. And then now you're not in that mode anymore. You're wondering what the heck went on. So then you pull it again. And then it's a huge surprise when you start dropping at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, I am not brave enough for that. Not at all.
Well, there was, we went, that was at a place called Fun Spot in Orlando. I guess there's two of them, in one in Kissimmee, one in Orlando. It's a fun spot. Now, just merely a coincidence, up here in New Hampshire, in Laconia, at the Lake Winnipesaukee Weirs Beach area, we have the original fun spot. And it is the largest arcade, like, in the world right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so
cool,
it's this big, giant thing. And as a matter of fact, if you've ever seen, I'm trying to think of what show it's on. Maybe like the History Channel. Where do you see Pawn Stars? Is that History?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it's on that same channel. There's a thing called like American Restoration or something, where you bring this guy, you know, something that's old and but run down, but still has, you know, workable stuff, and he restores it to like absolutely brand new condition.
Oh wow!
Well, the founder of this fun spot in New Hampshire, I can't remember the guy's name. He came across one of those old, you know, those little rickety rides that are outside like the supermarket, and it's like a horse, you know, and it just kind of wiggles back and forth. You put a quarter in, your kid sits on it and stuff. Well, he found a boat that you sit in, and it, you know, it wiggles back and forth. That's kind of really all those things do. But it was in poor condition, and he brought it to this guy. I think is his name Rick too. His name might be Rick. I know Rick Harris Harrison is the guy on Pawn Stars, but I think the other guy, I think his name is also Rick, the sleeveless denim jacket guy, works out of Vegas.
Yeah.
And he restores stuff. Well, anyways, he's got an episode on there, on that show.
Wow.
Of him restoring up that boat ride thing. So, you know, not, I mean, just for, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just for context, I guess.
Yeah. So. Sounds really cool. I'm actually looking at their website now, which is really, really cool. Yeah.
Well, we went from there to Universal Studios, and we had probably like 3 days there, and I did all the rides I wanted to do. You know, there was a couple of really high end, you know, thrill roller coaster rides.
Yeah.
We got fast passes, but they were like, well, we're not doing fast passes on these rides. We don't, probably in a couple of years maybe, but I'm like, all right, thanks. You know, so, but I mean, they move things right along. They're basically, they're like an assembly line, and you know, we are the raw materials that they move through the through the thing, the people. Next, all right, good. Yeah, okay, next people coming in, get out, next, roll in, you know. So they got that down to a pretty good science. So you, if you wait in line for, you know, 40-50 minutes, it's definitely worth it. And now what they got is, like, you know, halfway through the line, they start entertaining you with, you know, setting the ride up, different stories, different things. Like, we were walking past Velociraptors, you know, those where they have their face in those cages, and they're looking at us, and their eyes are moving, and then they're snorting and shaking and stuff. It's a Velociraptor.
Yeah.
Okay. So they got fun stuff to kind of keep you occupied once you get about halfway into the line. So
yeah,
it makes the line go by
cool.
a little bit faster. Oh yeah,
yeah, that's
yeah.
cool. Yeah, I haven't been to Universal Studios yet. So I want to, and I take the fam down there. Done the Disney World thing.
Yeah.
But yeah. Did you guys go there or?
No, we just went to the Universal.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know how much tickets are?
How
you
much?
Can't do both. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
You can't do both is what I'm getting at.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I lucked out. I got a cousin that works at Universal.
Oh, yeah, you told me that.
was able to hook us up with some pretty cool tickets, but I don't know anybody that worked at Disney, so
I understand. So some years ago we went to Busch Gardens in Tampa, and this is probably about 10, 15 years ago. But I mean, no, actually, I don't think it was that long. Anyways, the tickets back then were like $80, $80, $85.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, back then. So I can imagine what Disney's like. They're probably about $2 or something like that.
Wow, they probably be like $250 or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, so I understand.
I don't even know. I mean, it's knowable. You can look it up, you know, but.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
We spent a day at Fun Spot, and then we spent 3 days at the other one, and then we kind of just hung around the other days.
Cool.
Not too many
beans.
Days left. Maybe two or three other days, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's all good, you know?
I got friends and family in Orlando. So, yeah. We'll probably make our way down there here sometime real soon. But I gotta get myself together. You know, I have to figure out my dialysis schedule so that I can, you know, at least do like a weekend, because you know they say that machine is portable, but it's not. It's not really portable.
Not really portable. Can you rig it up onto like a dolly, a two wheeler or something? Can you rig it up and bungee it?
Probably so. The crazy thing is, you know, along with the machine, I have to bring the medicine because, you know, my machine, it has two parts, the top part, bottom part. The bottom part makes medicine, and I have to make a batch, you know, the night before I'm going to do dialysis. But I can't make a batch. I have to do what they call hanging bags, and each bag is I think 5 liters, and I got to hang 50 liters worth. So I got to hang 10 bags. So yeah. So if I was to try to transport my machine, I have to bring these hanging bags with me because the bottom part is not portable.
No problem. Little red wagon.
Yeah. So you know.
No, I got you. I'm just playing. I got you.
Oh yeah, I know. Anyway. I know. Yeah. Well, once I figure all that out, get on a good schedule.
Yeah.
Where you know I have to balance work and dialysis at the same time. So I'm trying to do it where I do it early in the week.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem becomes, I kind of mess myself up because Sunday I won't do anything because I'm watching football. And Monday, I won't do anything because I'm watching football.
Well, how long does a thing last you? It's like a day and a half, it sounds like, realistically. You get a day and a half, and then you got to do your dialysis again.
Yeah. As long as I get it in between Sunday and Saturday, I got to do it four times. So
4 times a week?
Yeah, 4 times a week. So mm-hmm. If I start on Sunday, then I can probably knock it out and not have to do Friday at all. So I would have the weekend to myself. So every other day,
you got to hit this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so I have to force myself to do it. I'm going to adjust my schedule. And
watch football on your – just bring a TV into your machine thing, no?
I got everything in my bedroom, and I got a big old TV right there.
So you can't dialysize and watch football? Is that the thing? It's too much.
I can. I'm just stupid.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
Yeah. So I just have to get out of the stupid zone and get myself together and do my thing.
All right.
And that's about it. That's about that. So you've been gone for a minute.
Yeah.
Have you caught up on the latest stuff that's going on?
It's somewhat painful.
It is.
It is absolutely painful. And it's like I'm so mad that they're still getting away with, you know, all the, and it's pure gaslighting. I'm glad I talked about that, you know, on the show here. We talked about gaslighting, what it is.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what it is. And not to mention, when they say, you know, like they would say that I'm doing the gaslighting. Well, that's gaslighting. Right?
So, yeah.
So, you know, it's just very, very frustrating that people are still, you know, believing what they see, like on the TV. We got so we got this new kid at work. Okay, he's a new clerk.
Uh oh.
And it's all good. He's good because, you know, he does his work. That's better than the old clerk though. He's actually in the hospital right now just because he got some health issues that he never addressed, and probably he's got some liver, kidney, or something going on.
Oh,
but anyway,
I know all about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, he couldn't do anything, and no matter how much you busted his balls, he just would not pick up the pace.
Right.
He would get mad that, you know, I needed him to. But anyways, so we got this other, and he's a younger kid, and he moved in from like rural New York, up, you know, upstate or someplace, you know, but,
yeah.
There was, you know, kind of some speculation, I guess. He might be gay. So then, you know, finally we all met him. And my evaluation was, you know, the other guy that I always talk about that I use as a foil and I try to, you know, get him to think for himself and all that works there.
Right. Right.
So he, you know, he's kind of like, hey, you know, but he's going to get married to a girl, you know, so I know he's not gay, but he kind of like talks like it and stuff like that. So when I met this other guy, this new guy, you know, what my contribution, not to him, because, you know, I don't want to be rude, but was like, if he's not gay, he's at least as gay as that other guy. So apparently it turns out that yes, he is. All right. So he's talking with the other clerk who's, you know, kind of like on our side, but she asks all kinds of questions and you know, she wants to understand things she found out that he really, really likes Biden. And she was like, what? Why? He says, well, you know, Republicans hate gay people.
Oh, God. Here we go.
No, you see what I mean, though? That is what is frustrating to me. That,
right.
That they're still being effective enough so that this guy believes that. You know what I mean? I mean, he didn't say that to me, so I can't say this to him. But I said it to the other clerk who told me what he had said. And I was like, I said, Republicans, apparently, according to them, is they also hate women. How can you? Who's left? You know?
The war,
remember Mitt Romney's war on women that George Stephanopoulos started?
Yes.
You know, and so that whole war on women. But now they also hate gay people. And well, who's left? You know? That was my observation about that. I mean, he's a good guy. I mean, you know, we're polite. He's polite. You know, he's very tidy. You know, he's a good guy. He really, really is. I don't have any problem with whatever he is. You know, he hasn't talked about it openly. So whatever I know is secondhand.
Right.
But, But, you know, I don't care, you know.
I know.
I'm good.
Yeah, and that's what I don't understand. Because, look, where I live in Atlanta. And if you don't know, they call Atlanta the black gay Mecca.
No,
so,
I did not know that. I would have thought that was Orlando.
Yes. Yeah, they call Atlanta the black gay Mecca. And, you know, every year there's quite a few pride festivals right around June and
yes,
stuff.
First, first week of June, buddy.
Yep.
I'll tell you, when you're done, I'll tell you how I know that.
And they've taken a whole section in downtown Atlanta, and they painted rainbows on the street as the crosswalk.
Yeah.
So I mean they just got this whole thing going down. It's in an era that they call Little Five Points. We have Five Points where there's Underground Atlanta and all this other stuff, and then there's Little Five Points. Little Five Points is if you've ever been out to California, San Francisco, Berkeley, that university, that area. If you've ever been in that area, that's Little Five Points. Okay, you got the young hippies and all this other stuff. When I used to live in Oakland, California, I was a rock throw from San Francisco. I actually worked in San Francisco. But anyways, yeah. I would go down to the Berkeley area because there was a record store down there that I used to buy vinyl from. And it was just a huge record store and just the best place to buy vinyl, which I can't find one here in Atlanta. But anyways, you go down there, you got these hippie kids that go to college. A lot of them they're going to college, but they choose to live on the streets, you know, to save money and all this other stuff. And, you know, they're on the streets, you know, they got the multiple nose rings and tattoos, and they're playing guitars and all that other stuff for money. That's Berkeley. And here in Atlanta, that's Little Five Points. Little Five Points is the same exact thing. It's like they picked up Berkeley and put it right there in Atlanta, Little Five Points. So yeah, they have the rainbow crosswalks and all this other stuff down there. And like I said, they call it the black gay Mecca, and yeah, they go all out, and the mayor gets into it and all this other stuff. Yeah, it just goes on and on and on and on and on, which I have no problem with at all. I don't care, you know, that's their thing, and they can do what they want. But it's just so frustrating, like you had to deal with, that this guy automatically says, well, you know, Republicans don't like gays, which is not true. We have no problem with your lifestyle. You can do what you want.
He attached a personal experience from the last office that he worked in. But that little office or big office, whatever that you came from, certainly doesn't represent, you know, all people that, you know, all Republicans as in that case. Apparently there was something that was said that was, let's say, anti-gay. Again, I'm getting this second hand, you know. So something was said that was like against gay, and people in the office apparently stood up and clapped their hands or something like that. And that might have contributed to why he moved to New Hampshire, you know.
Right.
But you know, so be it. I would like to think that if I was in that environment and that happened exactly the way it was explained to me, which I don't know how it went down, you know, that I would not be one of the ones standing up clapping. My only objection / resistance to the gay thing is, okay, I have like two things. Okay. Number one is simply plain and simple. It is, in my opinion, against natural law. Okay. That's where I'm at. doesn't matter to me if you violate natural law to me. You know what I mean? What's that got to do with me?
Right.
So, and why do you care what I think? You know? So, but the other thing is that I don't probably appreciate, I guess, is the intensity with which everyone A must accept that this, so that nobody has any hurt feelings, that this is a normal thing, and B, I think the PR behind the gay movement has created way more gay people than there ever would, than ever would have been. Because now it's chic, you know?
Right.
So I think, you know, that's the two things. Number one, against natural law. Okay, I can stop there. But if you're shoving this in my face and telling everybody that you must accept this as normal so that I don't get my feelings hurt type of thing, I just you want to do your thing, do your thing. I don't have to help you do your thing.
Right.
So that's basically where I'm coming from on that. Those are like the two main things that would put me in a category of, you know, Republicans hate gay people. I don't, but here's where I do stand.
Right. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I was just, I'm finishing up. So was actually a period. So go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is so frustrating that if you say, like you say, it goes against natural law, which me and you are of the same opinion. That's where I stand. And see, a lot of the problems we have, well, people in the Republican Party, is a lot of times they'll use God and the Bible, which it negates the conversation anyways. I never do that. But anyways, it's upsetting that if you say, like you believe, it goes against the natural law, for whatever reasons, they take that as hate. If I say I'm against gay marriage, they take that as hate. It's just a difference of opinion. I feel this way, you feel that way.
Right.
But
right.
What we
and
say,
and they've been conditioned.
Consider hate.
It's a conditioning thing, because it's not hate. It's just a disagreement, and you're calling it hate.
Right.
Doesn't make it hate. You know. I mean, it's gaslighting again.
Yep. Yeah, I was watching a video today. You've heard of Steven Crowder, right?
Sure. Louder with Crowder.
Louder with Crowder. I was watching one of his videos, you know, because he has a little series, Change My Mind. And he has
one.
That's
a man on the street type of thing, right?
Yes.
He'll sit in a booth and with a sign. Yeah,
he'll have particular topics, and he'll say, like, the one, you know, I watched a couple of them, but one that I almost threw my phone, because I was at work watching this. But anyways, it was, there's only genders, change my mind, right?
Okay.
So I don't think there was anybody where he had a real meaningful conversation, but there was this one female, or, well, she was gay. I'll put
it
that way. She said that if you intentionally do not use the correct pronoun, the pronoun that she wants you to call her, that is an act of violence.
Oh, yeah. I may have actually seen that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's,
and
like,
I'm like,
no.
Are you serious? And
no.
Steven Crowder, he told her, he said, so you mean I am breaking the law by calling you by your biological pronoun. And yeah, she's saying yes, calling her by the pronoun other than the one she wants you to call you is an act of violence. And that's what bothers me so much, because they're so over the top with this stuff. So you can't have a meaningful debate with them because things like that, act of violence. And also, I've been watching a lot of videos lately. I don't know what has got me into it, but I'm watching a lot of Ben Shapiro. And Ben Shapiro, he is fantastic as far as a debater. Man, that dude is fantastic.
Yeah, he's tipped off for sure.
Ooh. But anyways, I was watching a Ben Shapiro. He was on somebody's show, and they were talking about trans. Matter of fact, specifically, they were talking about Caitlyn Jenner getting the Woman of the Year award or whatever for bravery or whatever that thing was when she first when she first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on a panel. It was what's that doctor's name? He was a reality show where he used to try
Dr.
to help
Oz?
People with it. No. Another one.
Oh,
he used
Dr.
to try
Phil.
To help. No.
All it, right, that's him out.
he helped out people with addictions.
Yeah,
I can't remember. His show isn't like Dr. Oz or Dr. Phil. His show was on MTV. I can't remember this guy's name. But anyways, he was head of the panel, and then there were some other people on there. And there was this transgender guy, big guy too. You know, he used to be in the Army. He was a Ranger and all this other stuff. He talked about all the stuff that he did when he was in the Army. Just a big guy. He looked like a Caitlyn Jenner, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Big, bulky, tall. And stuff. Is 5'5". So
not,
this guy's
not right big, yeah.
Yeah, he's sitting right there. To this transgender guy. I can't remember his name. The video's on YouTube.
I think I've seen it. This is the one where he says he's going to send him home in an ambulance or something.
Yes. This guy grabbed him by his neck. See, because Ben Shapiro, I knew what he was doing, and kudos to him. He calls him sir.
Right.
So the guy grabbed him by the back of his neck, and he said, "Listen up, you keep that up, mister. And you're going to go home in an ambulance." That was a
song. I saw Ben Shapiro on another show talking about that show.
Right.
And he says, even with a guy grabbing my neck, and as strange as it might seem, the first thought I had was, who goes home in an ambulance? You go to the hospital.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah.
And it was crazy because the whole entire panel attacked Ben Shapiro. Not for the fact of the matter that this dude physically assaulted him and threatened his life.
Yeah, he basically says, I find that mildly inappropriate for a political discussion.
Yeah.
That was what he really said. After he apparently had the initial thought of, who the hell goes home in an ambulance?
Yeah. And
yeah,
I seen another video where he said later on he actually did file charges against the guy. He said he was like, it's the principle of the thing.
Right.
But, I mean, it was just so crazy how the whole entire panel attacked him and said nothing to the guy who just physically assaulted someone and threatened them.
Yeah, kind of proving the point about the proven the whole point about the girls' sports thing.
Yeah,
you and I have talked about that. You know, in the Olympics or any other competitions, you know, you don't have women competing in men's divisions, you know, transgender women competing in men's divisions and winning.
Right.
You don't have women compete, but the only direction it flows is, hey, Bigfoot, the only direction it flows is the transgender man competing in the women's, you know, category.
Yep.
And winning, but not just winning, but winning like huge. And setting unrealistic, you know, records that women probably is going to take for a long time to break those records set by men. In my opinion,
yeah,
all the records set by transgender women should have an asterisk.
Yep.
You know, they should be.
Yep.
This is, if you're not a transgender woman, this is your record. If you're a transgender woman, this is your record. You know, they gotta find a way to make some more distinctions, because it's ruining, you know, the whole women's sports thing. I mean,
yeah,
don't get me wrong. I really don't care. I'm not passionate about women's sports, you know, as an example,
right.
but I mean, you can kind of see their point.
Yes, indeed.
You know, when they're saying, okay, the reason I'm competing in the women's division is because I'm a woman, but this person who kicked our ass, who won by, you know, a full minute or whatever, when it's usually tenths of a second that determines the winner, he's like, you know, 6 or 7 seconds ahead of everybody. That's a long time. That's a long
right.
time in a race.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's swimming, you know, you can, with those pectorals, you can move a whole lot more water than you can
yeah.
with boobies. I don't know.
Yeah. They especially with swimming. Records in swimming, but they don't come close to Michael Phelps' records. And Michael
right,
Phelps,
which is why they're competing as women, probably.
Right, yeah, yeah. They don't even come close, and they're
they
setting
don't even bother. Right.
In the women's division. Yeah, they're setting records, and yes, like Dave Chappelle in one of the specials, like, what if LeBron James decided that day he was a woman? To the WNBA and score 840 points.
Right. I saw that. I ended up watching that special recently, and it was definitely worth the watch. It was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I talked about that last week. I mean, even Dave Chappelle is on the opposite side of the fence politically with us.
Right.
As a comedian in genre, he is dynamic, and right now, he's probably one of the best people out there that does it. And even though there's a lot of jokes about Republicans, there's a lot of jokes about Trump, but guess what? They're funny.
Oh, yeah.
So
oh, yeah. No, I don't care. Yeah. It's a freaking joke. Now,
yeah,
you're on the verge of getting arrested if you talk against the narrative. Do you remember... you remember that lady Addie that I used to interview from Germany?
Yes.
She pointed out all those years ago when, you know, in an interview, she was pointing out that whenever she heard the word political correctness, she knew that that was a slippery slope, because political correctness back in like East Germany, you could get arrested for saying the wrong, going against the government narrative.
Right.
Well, how far away are we from that?
Not far at all.
You got the January 6th people have been in jail since January 6th for trespassing, you know, You've got the Canadian truckers getting slammed. I think they finally come to some kind of a Canada?
Yeah.
In a couple months, when they could do it now. My son just said in a couple months Canada's lifting the mandate. Yeah. But what they went through in the meantime was, you know, basically, you know, people, even Trudeau would say, these people hold the wrong opinion.
Yep.
I'm sorry, what? Wait a minute. Whoa. The wrong opinion.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of what that lady Addie was talking about as far as, you know, what it was like in East Germany in 1935 when she was a little kid over there.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I remember some of those interviews. But, you know, I also had mentioned last week that if you go to the Department of Homeland Security's website and you look at their summary of U.S. terrorism in the United States of America, if you talk against COVID, or if you talk against the
election,
the election, and they can do whatever they need
crazy.
To do.
That is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. How far will they go?
They'll go as far as they need to maintain power. Hopefully, in the meantime, people are going to get sick of paying $4 and $5 a gallon of gas, and that might be enough.
Yeah,
because the inflation. They're saying just the whole White House is so it's so blatantly gaslighting. They call this Putinflation.
Yes.
What are you talking about? Or you know, what about opening with Jen Psaki? I saw this a couple of times. Opening up, you know, the Keystone Pipeline. Well, that's not anything that would help for, you know, a number of years. Okay. Now, if I am a speculator that speculates on futures of fuel, let's just say any kind of fuel, gas, oil,
right.
If I'm a speculator, and I see an administration who has been going on and on, even back to Obama. You remember the thing where he's talking about coal power plants and electricity prices will necessarily skyrocket. You remember that phrase, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. Good. Because that's him telling people what he wants to do. Okay, so there's A. Joe Biden, during a campaign, was talking like adamantly, you know, about, you know, $4 and $5 gas. You know, we need to do this. We need to get a handle on the climate change crisis. Okay, that's him telling people what he's going to do. But now that it happens, well, it's not his fault.
Right.
You know, so here we go. So if I'm a speculator, and I it's my job, and I derive an income from speculation of futures of commodities, whatever it is, oil, gas, you know, whatever, soybeans, I don't care. And you listen to the campaign speeches of who winds up in power, and they say, well, we're going to make gas prices way up here. Well, my speculation is going to be that gas prices are going to go way up. So that's where I'm going to bet, and that's what they're going to do.
Right. Exactly.
Whereas the opposite is also true. If I hear an administration talking about opening up, you know, oil, this and that, opening up drilling or drill, baby, drill, you know, those types of things, you know that there's going to be more supply in the market and prices are going to come down. That's the direction that I'm going to hedge. I'm going to bet that way. With my, you know, with my futures speculations.
Right.
So that's how, and you know, the futures speculators are basically what sets the price of a gallon of gas or a barrel of oil or however you want to shake it out.
Right.
Or in Hillary's case, cattle. Okay, the cattle futures. I mean, there's all kinds of things. But the point is, all one would have to do is listen to what they say they're going to do, not the feel good we're going to cure climate change thing, but what they're going to do that.
Right.
And then the next thing you have to do is believe them. Because that's like the only thing they're telling the truth about. Everything else is just get me in power and, you know, we're going to do this, this, and this. So now we're in power and we're doing this, this, and this. But everybody's looking around, looking to the left and right saying, yeah, but we didn't expect this or we didn't expect that. We didn't expect, you know, no, it's not our fault. See, big meat is keeping their prices high. So that's why you're paying more for steaks at the store, you know. And the big oil companies, they have all these leases on all this land. They have 9,000 leases that are approved or permits that are approved. Well, ask them. Saki says, ask them how come they're not using them or drilling them. Well, a permit does not an oil field make.
Right.
So if you ask them why you're not doing it, they'd be like, there's nothing on that one. There's nothing on that one. There's nothing on that one. No, we're not going to invest money looking for stuff that we pretty much know isn't there. You want to open back up Anwar, then yeah, we'll get on it. But that's what they closed down. They closed the offshore drilling. They closed the onshore drilling. Any new permits for any of that stuff.
Right.
But it's not their fault that the price of gas is so high. It's Putin's fault because 10 minutes ago he invaded Ukraine.
Right. Yeah.
And it's the greedy oil. Just one second. It's the greedy oil companies that are putting the prices so high. Okay. Wait. Did they just barely get greedy when Joe Biden became president?
Yeah.
Is that when the greed started? Because that's when the prices started going up.
Yeah. And Jen Psaki, she also said the other day when they were asking about, you know, the high oil prices and other stuff, she said, we just need to go to electric. So you want everybody, the whole entire United States of America, all of a sudden shift to electric. How is that going to happen? How is that going to get done? And see, you need oil in it because oil isn't just not gas. You're talking about plastics and other stuff. So, they need the plastics and all that other stuff to make cars and, you know, to manufacture cars and everything else. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do if we want to get ourselves off fossil fuels and go to electric? We know that wind does nothing, solar does nothing, and that's I don't even think that close to 10%. It's more like 5 and below of wind and solar. So it's crazy how this administration thinks, and you have everybody blaming everything on Putin, on, like you said, a war that happened 10 years ago. Mm. Now, don't get me wrong. I do sympathize for the people of Ukraine. See, because, you know, somebody's going to hear the show and try to twist it, think that we don't have any sympathy for Ukraine, that we're on Russia's side, because everybody was saying that Trump was in Putin's pocket, which we all know is not the truth. You know, I had a guy at my job, chose to not debate the people now because what we got going on at my job, you know, when Trump was in, every day when I showed up to work, What about, hey, your boy Trump? They always wondered what was going on. It was always asking me, like, I got a phone line, and I talked to Trump.
It only goes in one freaking direction.
Yeah,
I get that. Yeah.
So now it's like, I'm like, hey, what's going on with your boy Biden? Now, I don't talk politics at work. Since when?
Unless it's Trump, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this Jennifer Granholm, I heard a couple of clips today, okay, of her, she was on some kind of a show, you know, and they asked about what plan does the Biden administration have to increase the supply of oil, that, you know, to help start bringing the cost of gas down. And her laughter was boisterous. She was like, oh yeah, that's great, or something like that. I forgot exactly what she said. I heard it on Bongino's thing. And it was, you know, really like she's laughing at us. And then in May, she says, well, you know, if you drive an electric car, this wouldn't be affecting you. And then she's laughing again, you know, but the laughter that she, it was almost Kamala Harris laugh, which we should talk about that one in a minute too, but it was, her point that you took away from that was, so there is absolutely no plan to do anything to lower these prices for the American people. You're laughing.
Yep.
Because she was like, oh yeah, that's good. The question, you know, what does the Biden administration have in mind to talk to the oil companies to increase production to help lower the price to get some more oil out there? That's good. What the hell is that? Who is she? You know what I mean? It's like you're sitting there. I'm paying. I'm a workaday guy here. Yeah, and I'm paying, you know, $4.50 for a gallon of gas.
Yeah.
When Trump left office, it was under $2. It was like $1.89 up here. That's how.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
that's another thing,
I mean,
that's frustrating. Because, you know, I was thinking about this today too. All the 4 years that the constant, and you know this, it was 24/7, you know, 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours a day. It was everything against Trump while he was in office, except you were paying $1.89 a gallon of gas. You were spending a whole lot less on groceries. You were spending a whole lot less on clothes and other, you know, commodities. But
yep,
you got your feelings hurt from mean tweets. Right? So now you got your boy. You got your boy. I hope you're proud. By the way, have you listened to your boy recently? Can you tell me anything he said that makes any sense? Can you, I mean, when he does speak, you can't really even, it's like a salad of just, you know, different words. and the same thing with the vice president. So is there anything that you can defend that this guy has done? Because,
yeah.
I mean, anything I would bring up would be, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. And like Bongino says, I need people to call in with new conspiracy theories, because everything that was accused of being a conspiracy theory has come true. So we need some new ones. Everything that
yeah.
we, you would say that they would argue, no, that's just a conspiracy theory. Well, it ended up proven out. So we need some new conspiracy theories because all the old ones came true. So,
yeah. And you know, it's crazy. I was thinking about this today. You think about it, you know, during the 2020 elections, all you heard was they wanted Trump out. And of course, Trump derangement syndrome was rampant. All you heard was Trump. He's a racist. He's a sexist. He's a fascist. All of that stuff. And Trump was the only name that came out of their mouths. That's all you heard was Trump. All you heard was Trump. So Trump loses. And apparently in historical fashion, we all know, me and you know that's not true, but that's what they say. You know, Trump loses historical fashion. Biden gets 80 million votes.
81 million votes.
Yeah. The people want Biden. The people want Biden. Now Biden's in office, but they're still talking about Trump. If you hated this guy so bad and you wanted was out, why does his name still come out of your mouth? You know why? Because they're afraid. They know that Biden is so bad, historically bad, has an end. If he runs in 2024, it's almost a guarantee that he's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't cheat. And that's what they're afraid of. They know that. So they have to keep Trump's name coming out of their mouths. They got to keep people thinking that he's crazy, that he's a racist, that he's a fascist, and all this other stuff.
That he hates gay people.
Yes, and he hates gay people. Yeah, because they know that their guy is historically bad. And like I said before, I don't think he's going to make it out of this first term. I don't think he's going to make it. If they just run some tests on his cognitive ability, they're going to say, oh, this dude's got to go.
G-Ski. Yeah. By my count, don't get mad at me, okay? By my count, there's at least two doubles for him. We got that whole earlobe thing going on, you know. That's a conspiracy. Well, okay, just like the Russia collusion thing, you know, us saying that was a hoax, that was a conspiracy. Okay. So some with attached earlobes, there's some with not attached earlobes type of thing. enough to make me say, okay, there's probably two or three of these guys out there that can... So what I'm getting at is he'll make it at least a four. one way or another.
Because he has the doubles. Okay.
Right.
I got you on that one.
Okay.
Got you on that one. But I'm not sure, though. I mean, if they allow him to keep on doing these press conferences and he just goes down in flames,
It's not like he goes down in flames once in a while. Every single one. Every single one. We're not allowed to talk about that at work. We can talk about Trump going down in flames all you want, but you can't talk about him going down in flames ever.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. And his State of the Union was a disaster. He called Ukraine, Iran, a few times. And next day, he was talking about Russia and the bombing of Ukraine. And he said Putin's bombing Russia.
Yeah.
This this dude is all over the place. And nobody's saying anything. And then you got poor Kamala, Kamala. I'm sorry. I'm thinking Kamala wrestler back in the days. But Kamala Harris, poor Kamala Harris. And they sent her to Poland, and she was just embarrassing. She was just embarrassing
when
she sent her to Poland.
It was horrible. She's being asked about refugees, and you know what will America be able to do, and you know, and then and it was like the other half of the question was for the Polish counterpart, and she just was like a deer in the headlights, you know, blink, and she had nothing. And what she said,
yeah.
A friend in need is a friend indeed.
Yeah.
I think what she was saying was, hey, I'm in need. Will you be a friend and bail me out of this question?
Yeah. And you know, it's crazy because even when she went to Poland, even when she was asked about the Ukraine conflict, she speaks like she's a child,
or
she's
speaking
to a child.
Yeah. I'm standing here at the east gate, north gate, and we're talking about what we can be done to north gate east. It was not allowed to talk about that, though. Not allowed to say that at work.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it is insane. Insane in the membrane.
I mean, I would... insane in the membrane. I would call her Biden's assassination insurance. Because... Do you want to have to take two of them out? Because... the second one is worse. Actually, if you think about it, at this point in time, you'd have to take three out. And now we're left with Kiefer Sutherland as the designated survivor. I'm not suggesting any of that. I'm saying that that's what would have to be done if you went ahead with the first one.
Right, yeah.
Because you've got Kamala Harris second. You've got Nancy Pelosi third. Yeah. And that is just untenable to me.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And
it's
look, she...
like Pringles,
she,
you know? No one can eat just one.
And she's not too far from Biden either. If you've seen some of the press conferences that she's done,
she's
not too far from him either. So yeah, I mean,
well, I hope we don't get in trouble for what I just said. I did not, you know, I'm not suggesting I'm not even saying that I would be happy if it did happen. I was saying generically that she was probably hired as his assassination insurance because she didn't even get anything out of the primaries. You know, she had to drop out after Iowa.
Right. Yeah.
She didn't because she didn't get anything in Iowa. She's vice president. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And now we know why. Because she can't speak. She has no charisma. Who was the guy in California that was it? Benny Green? No, it's what the hell is his name? Oh. We need Bigfoot to help us out. I know he knows what I'm talking about. It was he was like the governor or the attorney general or something that got her. She was like slept her way to the top, and he was Willie Brown. Does that ring any bells?
I believe so.
All right, that's how she got to where she is.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to talk about that at work either, are we?
There's a lot of stuff we're not allowed to talk about now.
All right.
Now that they've pulled this guy out of the basement.
Yeah.
He was the Speaker of the California State Assembly.
There you go. All right. So what was his name? Willie Brown. That was his name, right?
Willie Brown.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good on me. Hey, hit us with some top of the hour stuff. I need to get a bottle of water.
Okay. All right. You are listening to the Dave and G-Ski Rock Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. We will be right back.
Good evening.
Well, I used to eat bacon, 'cause I like the way it tastes. Now I eat it for jihadis, just to say in your face,
I kill you.
I eat bacon, wrapped in bacon, rolled in bacon bits.
See what I'm trying to say, Abdul? I'd rather you got over yourself, put an end to all this righteous indignation. Have some bacon and enjoy it. We can all get along and from war enjoy permanent vacation.
there. Me, I kill you.
You're listening to Renaissance Radio on Airwaves America with Dave and GC Rock.
Welcome back to the Dave and G-Ski Rocks show. I am one of your hosts, G-Ski Rocks, in the place to be eating bacon. What's crack-a-lackin'? Real quick, if you want to call into the show, the call number is 516-387-1705. Once again, that's 516-387-1705. And also, make sure you check out the website, www.airwavesamerica.com. Get all the latest info on what we're going on and when the show is going to air, like good stuff. And you can also stream from the website. So go there, make sure you check it out, and it's all good. It's all gravy. You know how we do what we do. If you want to email Dave, super easy. Or you can email him at dave@airwavesamerica.com. And if you want to email me, it's real easy. It's gski, G-S-I, @airwavesamerica.com. That's all the stuff that you need to know. And, you know, you can find this stuff on the website, too. So if you need to contact us, all that stuff is on the website also. So just go there, check it out. Drop us an email. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you want to hear on the show. And we will do our best to accommodate you, because that's how we do what we do. You know what I'm saying? So what's cracking? What we want to talk about now?
What's up?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got a gig tomorrow, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome sauce.
I got a music fest.
Oh, and that's even better.
Yeah, and it's like it's going to be five acts. Some of them are solo, some of them are duo. They're going to finish up with the four-piece band, you know, kind of crescendo.
Yeah.
So we each get an hour to play, and it's going to be at the Legion Hall. So I'm doing it in hopes to get into a rotation out there, you know, a paid rotation.
Oh.
I'm playing for tips tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
And
I got
you. So, you know, it's one of those things, you know, once in a while you got to do. And
yeah,
the setup that I have is pretty pretty elaborate. And I don't want to use, it's going to take about an hour to set it up, you know, with the lights and everything. I don't want to use my hour setting up and then, you know.
Right.
So
I got you.
What I did is I contacted some of the other solo duo acts, and I was like, hey, you want to use my PA? So that way, you know, I can set the thing up, squeak out all the, you know, everything that needs to be squeaked out while they're using it. And then when I get up there, I can play for a whole hour, and then I'll be ready to go. So hopefully buy some points with that as well. And then next Thursday, a place I've been trying to get into, going to bring me in for St. Patty's Day. So I'm kind of excited about that. The things I've heard was that's a pretty big night for this place. It's just a steakhouse, lobster and steakhouse, but it's local.
Right.
I've played there before in in band, you know, in band settings. But with this act, this will be the first time I've been there with this act. And, you know, it's probably 5-6 years ago, maybe more, probably more.
Yeah.
That I've ever even that have played there. So at the karate school, one of the kids that I teach, his dad works at this restaurant. So I've been like hitting him up, you know what I'm saying? And hey, I got this show and all that. Well, we haven't really decided what we're going to be doing with music yet and blah, blah, blah. So hopefully I'll be getting into that rotation as well. So if I can get 4 or 5, maybe 6, 7 places that bring me in every couple of months, I'll be good. You know, as long as I have
that would be nice. Play
like maybe every other weekend or something. If I get enough gigs where I can start saying, yeah, no, I'm already booked, or yeah, I can't do that, then maybe I can raise the price a little bit.
Right.
That's the hope.
Yeah.
So that's what I got coming up. Don't know if I'll be here next week. I might because it's a Thursday gig. So
I understand.
I should be okay for Friday.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Yeah, it's all good. It's all gravy. Because that's what we do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I sent you a couple of links.
Yes, you did.
For a website.
Yep.
Of the World Economic Forum.
Uh-huh.
And I started looking through the thing. Don't know if you've got anywhere near it or not, but it's the World Economic Forum. Klaus Schwab is the founder of this. And I found a place in their own website about the Great Reset. And it's in quotes, the Great Reset. You go to this page, it says, now is the time for a great reset. And they're talking about a global reset. And what they're doing is do you remember where you say that they used to say something like, never let a crisis go to waste? Because
yes.
Using that, it was Eric Holder. You never let a crisis go to waste because you can pass legislation during a crisis that you would not normally be able. He came out and said that you would not otherwise be able to get through.
I remember that.
And they are totally using or trying now to use. Let me try it this way. They're trying to maintain the quote unquote crisis of COVID, even though COVID is pretty much done. They want to still use it to, because this is such a big move, it's taking longer to shove everybody into the box that they want to shove everybody into.
Right.
It's taking longer to do that. So that's why they're trying to keep this thing alive. You know, you needed to get a vaccination, and then now you need the booster. Well, I need another booster. Now you need another booster. You know, they got 3 or 4 boosters out now.
Right.
And that's how they have been prolonging this. You know, where you bring your fingers together, you close them, and then you spread them apart. Like, hey, drag this out. You know, can you? You know that sign language where somebody's like, you're not ready for the next thing, and you got to let the person know up there they got to keep going, and so you're like, you know, you tell them to drag it out.
Yeah.
With your fingers, it's a sign language thing. I don't know if it's an American sign language thing, but it's something that everybody understands.
Yes.
when you see somebody do those gestures. Well, that's what's going on with this COVID thing. They're trying to drag it out. You gotta vamp. You gotta keep going. You gotta.
Yeah.
We're not ready to bring the next act in yet. So you gotta keep spreading it out.
Yep. I had watched the Zoom call that they did on that link that you sent me, the Great Reset. And I was like, wow, really? This is what they're trying to do?
Yeah, I haven't watched that yet. I haven't had a chance to sit down and push play. I've been reading. Okay, I can read like 3 or 4 paragraphs. Now I got to go to work. You know what I mean? So
right.
But I didn't sit. I didn't push play on any of those things. So tell me about it.
They basically had all the professors, and they were discussing how the Great Reset. What needs to be done because of COVID, everything that's going on. That the world economy is about to crash, and the only way to fix it is with this Great Reset, which, you know, keeping mandates and all this other stuff. I mean, it was insane. I thought I was talking about the Biden administration and him and his mandates.
Well,
it was insane. Yeah, it was crazy. But yeah, you want everybody in lock. You are exactly correct. They want everybody in the box.
But here's what's wild to me, okay?
We're not looking at what somebody wrote about the World Economic Forum. We're not looking at an article about the World Economic Forum. We're looking at the World Economic Forum's website.
Yes.
weforum.org.
Yes.
That's what kind of blew my mind. And they're talking about, you know, maintain, like you said, maintaining mandates. Let me just read a couple, 2 paragraphs. I don't even really, I'm just as random. First 2 paragraphs after the bullet points. All right, so I'll do the bullet points right under the push to reset the world is the picture. It's a picture of like a traffic button. But
right.
instead of push to cross, it's push to reset. It says, visit the Great Reset microsite here. That's one. Next, hear Klaus Schwab on these podcast episodes, The Great Reset Launch, and his book. Those are links. We can emerge. Here's the next one, 3rd one. We can emerge from this crisis a better world if we act quickly and jointly, writes Schwab. 4, the changes we have already seen in response to COVID-19 prove that a reset of our economic and social foundations is possible. This is our best chance to instigate stakeholder capitalism, and here's how it can be achieved. Then it goes into the paragraphs. COVID-19 lockdowns may be gradually easing, but anxiety about the world's social and economic prospects is only intensifying. I'm just going to pause right there because I'm reading this as if I'm reading it for the first time.
Right.
The world's social and economic prospects are only intensifying because of PR. Because they're intending to intensify the social and economic prospects. Only that way, because they won't let it go. It's only that way because every way you look, if you look at news, you see social and economic issues. If you look at movies, social and economic issues. If you look at advertisements on TV, advertising stuff, doesn't matter what it is. In it is a social and economic prospect.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only reason it's intensifying is on purpose. They're not telling you that part. They're saying, oh, well, this is because it's, you know, it's grassroots. It's nothing we're doing, nothing to see here. It's what we're looking at. Well, what you're looking at is the result of what you're doing or
right.
what you're advocating or what you're funding or what you're supporting.
Yes.
So I just wanted to say that. As soon as I see anything about social things, that's all manufactured in my eyes. Anyway.
Yeah.
There is good reason to worry, going back to the piece. There's good reason to worry. A sharp economic downturn has already begun, and we could be facing the worst depression since the 30s. But while this outcome is likely, it is not unavoidable. To achieve a better outcome, the world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and economies. From education to social contracts and working conditions, every country from the United States to China must participate, and every industry from oil and gas to tech must be transformed. In short, we need a great reset of capitalism.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, it's crazy because during their little Zoom call, you had mentioned it in a retrograde. Yeah, they said that if we don't get a hold of this, if we don't do this great reset, it's going to be worse, not equivalent, worse than the Great Depression. And that's a serious charge right there, a very serious charge.
It is, but it's, again, it's only because they say so.
Yeah.
Mostly, you know, and it's because that's what they're trying to push. That's what they're trying to get everybody to believe.
Yeah.
Here we go. Let's go back to the thing. There are many reasons to pursue a great reset, but the most urgent is COVID-19, having already led to hundreds of thousands of deaths. The pandemic represents one of the worst public health crises in recent history. And with casualties still mounting in many parts of the world, it is far from over. To me, this was over a year ago. Even though I only got it over Thanksgiving, it was over a year. It was over before that. You know what I mean? It was over a year before that.
Yeah.
Some people it hits. Yes. Well, some people the flu hits. Some people, you know, all these other diseases, they hit differently. I get it. What makes this one such a guaranteed killer? What makes this one such a high priority? Higher than heart disease, higher than tuberculosis, higher than whatever else, whatever. I can't even think, you know, it hits people differently. Okay, I get it. It makes it the same as every other thing that we've been dealing with for the past million freaking years.
Yep. Yeah.
But they're using this, they're using it to say that, you know, they're using it as an excuse to transform everything. They say this will have serious long-term consequences for economic growth, public debt, employment, human well-being. According to the Financial Times, global government debt has already reached its highest level in peacetime. Moreover, unemployment is skyrocketing in many countries. In the U.S., for example, one in four workers have filed for unemployment since mid-March. I'm not sure what the date on this, you know, when they've updated this, but.
Right.
With new weekly claims far above historical highs. And to me, that's suspect. One in four.
Yeah,
that seems a little high to me. If it was one in four, I'd be one of them. <You know? laughs> Now, my son's been out of work, but he never filed for unemployment yet. You know,
yeah.
So he's not one of them. Just kidding. The International Monetary Fund, the IMF, expects the world economy to shrink by 3% this year. A downgrade of 6.3 percentage points in just 4 months.
Hmm.
Right. I don't know exactly what that means. All of this will exacerbate the climate and social crises that were already underway. because we said so. Some
yes.
countries have already used the COVID-19 crisis as an excuse to weaken to weaken environmental protections and enforcement. I'm going to do that again because
yep.
I laughed.
I'm sitting here reading it along with you.
Oh, are you? Okay. So
yes.
all of this, so you know what I'm laughing at.
Yes.
All of this will exacerbate the climate and social, and there it is again, social crises that were already underway. Some countries have already used the COVID-19 crisis as an excuse to weaken the environmental protections and enforcement. And frustration over social ills like rising inequality.
Here we go.
U.S. billionaires combined with wealth has increased during the crisis are intensifying.
There we go. I knew they had to hit. They
it's,
had to
yeah,
hit.
It's like,
they had
there
to.
It is. Boom. There it is. There it is.
Yep.
Because we know how to look at this. You and I, we know what we're looking at. But if
yep.
somebody doesn't have the base that we look at this through, or the lens that we look at this through, they're like, oh, well, that's nice. Oh, yes, we want equality. We want equity. We want get those billionaires because their wealth has increased during this crisis.
Yes. And do you see the, have you read the second one under that, that paragraph, the COVID-19 is a litmus test for stakeholder capitalism. So you know where they're going with this stuff. You know where they're going. It's the big bad billionaires that are making money. And once again, capitalism is not only destroying the United States, but capitalism is destroying the world. And we have to get a hold of this by this great reset, or you're going to have people, you know, eating out of garbage cans, and it's going to be worse than the Great Depression. Meanwhile, all the billionaires are going to be sitting fat and happy on their yachts. Laughing at us.
Yes. And that yacht is kind of like a shield through which criticism does not penetrate.
Uh-huh.
You know? You can
yep,
say,
you got it.
All right, whatever. Say what you want. Hey, bring me another margarita. You know? I mean, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
Okay, I'm sitting on a yacht because I can afford a yacht. I don't have to go to work because I can afford to not go to work. What the hell do I care what anybody else thinks of me?
Yep.
I think I want a margarita. Hey!
have you ever seen The Wolf of Wall Street with Leonardo DiCaprio?
I've seen pieces of it.
Yeah, that's what you just said. That's what it reminds me of. There is a scene in that movie where it almost breaks down that like that. Yep. Because they're planning this. That's what they want us to think. Because again, the people on the left are about emotions, so they're triggering people. And it's always
they're
the
stimulating
rich's fault.
The emotions,
it's always rich's
right.
fault. Yeah.
They're stimulating those emotions. Now,
yep.
What they're saying is that, you know, they want equity for everybody when, in fact, the policies will just benefit them.
Yep, exactly.
That's what I think. And
yeah.
they are the people they're bitching about. Is, you know, that's them.
It's just like we talk about it almost every year. We're not talking about it now because there's so much going on. But you know, in Congress, when they get their annual cost of living allowance rate. I mean, it's in the Constitution. They get it every year. They always send out that one guy that says that he's against it just to make people think that they, we got to show that we're holding out here.
Yeah, to take this.
We always got to send out that one guy. That's what they're doing.
One guy. Who is it going to be this year? I need a volunteer.
So that's exactly what they're doing. They're the ones. I mean, they want us to be mad at the rich, but they are the rich. They're the ones that are going to benefit from this reset. But we've got to send that one guy, to be the bad guy. Say, we're not going for this. We shouldn't do it. And this is what we need to do for the people. Because we're looking out for you. But yet, they're on their yachts. Hey, can I get a margarita?
Exactly. So, all right. So the next little paragraph, it says, left unaddressed, these crises together with COVID-19 will deepen and leave the world even less sustainable, less equal, and more fragile.
Oh, no.
Incremental measures and ad hoc fixes will not suffice to prevent this scenario. We must build entirely new foundations for our economic and social systems.
There it is, social again.
There it is again.
Yep.
I mean, this is not, like I said, and this is what floors me. This is not an article that my buddy on Facebook would say, oh, that's just propaganda, right-wing propaganda. I'm sorry. This is their website.
Yes.
This is what they're saying that they want to do.
Yes. Yes.
That
these,
blows my mind.
Yes. These are the...
In which case, right. But in which case, he would be like, well, yeah, that's great. You know?
You are correct.
he'll dive right in. He would slurp it right up and say, yummy.
The Great Reset.
But everything that we're seeing, I think I texted it, a little note with you with these things, like many of the things that we're seeing today can be plugged right into what they're saying that they want to do here.
Right. Yeah.
The Great Reset agenda would have three main components. The first would steer the market towards fairer outcomes. To this end, government should improve coordination, for example, in tax, regulatory, and fiscal policy. Also, upgrade trade arrangements and create the conditions for a stakeholder economy. At a time of diminishing tax bases and soaring public debt, governments have a powerful incentive to pursue such action. Okay. Two questions. Number one, why is the tax base diminishing? Let's stipulate a diminishing tax base because more and more people are out of work. Why is that? Because of the freaking lockdowns that you put on because of the COVID-19 BS, which is the excuse for the soaring public debt to sustain the people of your diminishing tax base. So now all the money is rolling in a different direction towards people that aren't working to keep them voting, to keep their money coming in because they, I can't find a job.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a circular stupidity argument there. If you take the regulations off, let people make their own living, you'd have an increasing tax base, and you wouldn't have to incur such soaring public debt.
Mm-hmm.
Am I off on that one?
No. You are not.
All right. The second component of a Great Reset agenda would ensure, I haven't read this, so I'm just reading it right now out loud, of a reset agenda would ensure that investments advance shared goals, such as equality and sustainability. Sounds like they don't want anybody to make money off investments. Okay, so here, the large-scale spending programs that many governments are implementing represent a major opportunity for progress. The European Commission, for one, has unveiled plans for a £750 billion recovery fund. The U.S., China, and Japan also have ambitious economic stimulus plans. So more and more debt, more and more debt. That's the second component of the Great Reset. More and more debt, more and more debt.
Yeah.
Okay. Rather than using these funds, as well as the investments from private entities and pension funds, to fill cracks in the old system, listen up, we should use them to create a new one that is more resilient, equitable, and sustainable in the long run. This means, for example, building green, quote unquote, urban infrastructure and creating incentives for industries to improve their track record on environmental, comma, social, comma, and government governance metrics. ESG, environmental, social, and governance metrics. They have that down to an acronym, ESG. But there's that word again.
Mm-hmm.
Social.
There it is again.
You know, and you know what? I just keep seeing that word and seeing that word. I think I just can't help think. I haven't got this crystallized in my. It's kind of like hitting me as they're putting it in there to imply, I guess, that the world is racist. And that this will help get us out of the racism that we're wallowing in as a planet.
Right.
Every time they write something about social, help me noodle through this, because that's whenever I see that word now, I'm thinking racism. I'm thinking that they're trying to push that. We're wallowing in racism.
Yes. I agree.
Does that... All right. All right. Because like I said, I just need to, you know, I just need to, let me bounce this off and noodle through it. Because whenever I heard the word years ago, when I heard social justice, that, remember that phrase during the Obama years and stuff?
Yep.
That's when I first heard it, was the Obama. What social justice, what does that mean? Well, it means that we're all racist and we need to reverse that. I don't really know what we're supposed to do other than not be racist, which I'm not in the first place. You know what I mean? What am I supposed to do? What? I have to admit that I'm too white? I do that all the time. I'm from New Hampshire.
Probably one of the whitest states in the Union.
Yeah, after Vermont, yeah.
You know,
that's just how the word social and how they use it. That's just how it hits me as as a way to kind of perpetuate the idea that this whole globe is wallowing in racism.
And you know, all the videos that I've been watching over this past week with Ben Shapiro and Crowder and other people, they talk about that systemic racism that this world is caught up in, you know, and everything has to do with race. The fact of the matter that there are people that can't get out of the hood because of systemic racism. And it drives me insane. It drives me insane. Yes, there is some racist people in our country. There's racist people everywhere.
I go that far. I mean, I will definitely go that far, you know, but because there are racist people, it doesn't make us systemically racist. It makes those people assholes.
Right, exactly. And that's what they don't get. But once again, because they operate in emotions, it's a group thing. Social, once again, what you keep on touching on, social. It's a group thing, community thing.
Well, don't forget, too, the aspect of you know, that word, the aspect of it is to perpetuate the idea that whether or not it's true, you know, it's like gaslighting, basically, right? I mean, that is a factor in the use of that word. You cannot tell me that word has not been washed through a focus group or many, many, many focus groups.
Many, many. I would go with many, many.
Yeah. I mean, because it's been with us for a little while. They didn't just bring that up in one group, you know?
Right. Where to go with that? You know, it's kind of funny. You must be picking my brain, because this is what I had been thinking about all week. Everything that we have talked about on this show today been on my mind all week, and it's been driving me crazy. It's been driving me crazy because the whole racism thing. It black, in case some of y'all don't know, I'm a black guy, but I can tell you without a doubt that my buddy on the opposite side of these microphones is no way in hell he can be racist. He's not racist because he's white. He's not privileged because he's white. He's a white guy in America that's dealing with bull crap that we're dealing with. And you know, back in the days, once the recession hit, once Obama came in office, you had it a lot harder than me. I think I talked about it on the last show. How many jobs were you working back then?
Oh, I stopped this. It was weird because for a little while I was doing the karate thing, but then I dropped out of that to do the post office. Well, then the post office, that was going good. And then that kind of like died down, but another opportunity came, second shift. So I had like two full-time jobs, one of which I tried to get away with working a whole lot less hours because I had a sub. So
right.
I went quote unquote full-time at the post office, but I really couldn't. I couldn't do more than like 4 days a week at the post office because I was doing five nights a week at the other place, which was, you know, that was an 8.5 hour day. Plus it was like, you know, 25, 30 minutes drive each way, you know? So
right.
I had, and I'm telling you like it is. I'm not going to say, oh, I had, you know, three jobs that I walked uphill both ways, you know, for 5 years. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when I first went quote unquote full time at the post office, when I first got the route, I went from a sub to a regular carrier. The route that I was on was a it alternated 5 days and 6 days for a week. So in other words, I would get a day off every other week, other than Sunday. And that was a certain classification of the route. It was a J route. And what I would do is, because I had, there was another woman there that was the sub, you know, the substitute carrier, and she wanted the hours. So I would actually have to take like 2 months off in the summer. And I think I was really only able to do that 1 year, maybe two, before they were like, okay, yeah, we think we need you here instead. Okay, well, there's a sub. Why do you need me to do it? But it enabled me, because the school job went days during the summer because we were there doing cleaning everything top to bottom.
Right.
So I couldn't be at the post. I could work Saturdays at the post office, and I did. You know, which was usually a pretty hard day to cover. So I thought, you know, I mean, I'm not doing you a favor doing this, but it is what I can do. And, you know, until I got some a-hole management, that's what I was doing. As soon as the a-hole management came, they kind of like put the screws to me and, you know, really turned up the stress because they didn't want me working the other job, basically. And, you know, one thing to another, I ended up leaving the second shift job. But I did that for like 3 years, 3.5 years. So I was doing both jobs for like 3.5 years. I would have to finish delivering mail on the days that I did deliver mail. I had to finish by like 2 o'clock or, you know, 2:30 at the very latest, so that I could get up to the other job by 3 and not be late. I was the supervisor. I was a supervisor at that second job. So I couldn't be, you know, rolling in 10 minutes late. You know what I mean? Nobody played that. And, you know, it was a decent job. I mean, I didn't have any real complaints until they mutinied on me. But anyways, and neither did they, until there was one poison pill that ended up, you know, dismantling everything. So for like 3.5 years, I had like the two jobs, and I wasn't doing karate, but as soon as the second shift job there, the karate school owner the place where I had trained for like 15 years. Tragically, his daughter just passed away, all of a sudden. And she was a single mom, basically, two kids, young. They're still young. I would say the oldest right now is probably 9, maybe 10.
Mm-hmm.
And the younger one is, you know, a couple of years behind him. So she passed away, and I heard, you know, we heard about that, and you know, my wife is friends with them too. So we went to we were at the funeral, and during the little after the reception after the funeral, you know, you can go and have a cup of coffee and, you know, a couple of pieces of cake or whatever. They were talking about how the son, because he had two kids. He had a daughter, older, and a younger son. And the son was stepping up to kind of like, you know, take on the business as he,
right,
because he was a, you know, young adult at that point. Married at that point, you know, and he'd been through college, and, you know, he had some good skills. So he's stepping in, and they were ready to really take that school and take off with it. They had a plan. They had it written right out. And the guy's wife was going to be doing, you know, all of the front desk stuff, until the daughter passed away. Well, now, now they have to raise those kids, you know. So she, that took her out of the picture. So I was like, well, there is no reason now why I can't come back and kind of like pick up where I left off as much as, you know, to the degree that that's possible. I was out for about like 5 years.
Right.
And so they were like, really? Because don't tease because we will take the hell, you know? And,
right.
So I, you know, I kind of like talked it over with my wife and I was like, yeah, I'd like to go back. So he brought me back in, started paying me, you know, it's not a big amount of money,
right?
But you know, maybe like a couple $100 a week type of thing. And it's more than I would do not doing it. It's more than I would get not doing it, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And you know, it's something I love to do. It's, at this point, when I'm teaching kids, I'm like performing for their parents. I am just trying to get people laughing so that on the ride home, they tell their kids that they had a good time.
Yep.
And they bring them back.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
So that's how that was like a detail, you know, set of what I went through during that time.
Yeah. And during that time, I was living pretty well. And, you know, and one of the reasons why I'm in this situation that I'm in now is because I'm carrying too much weight. That takes us to what?
Oh, that was from Living Lodge during those Obama years, right? Living Lodge.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what Michael talked about. One caller talked about everywhere else in the world, fat people are considered well off.
Right.
Well, that was me. There was no systemic racism or anything else like that that had me in that particular situation. I was living quite well. I was living quite well under Obama. I was living quite well under Trump. And there is no systemic racism that had me all clutched up. I could have complained about my situation and what I'm dealing with now, but I know that was all me. I knew that was all me. I took off all the weight. I don't have blood pressure problems now. My blood pressure is fine. I barely even take my pills, but because my kidneys are out so messed up, I got to do dialysis.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was nothing holding me back. Nothing from me getting things. Nothing from me getting things done.
Not from white people.
Yeah, not from white people. White people didn't hold me back from anything. I was doing what I wanted. I was good. I'm still good.
Maybe we'll read a little bit more from this next week. This Great Reset World Economic Forum. I think we're at the coming up to the last couple minutes of the show here.
Yeah.
So. But you know, maybe I'll go through it and highlight some stuff. Right now, I didn't really get a chance to go through and highlight anything. It was just kind of like, hey, there's stuff here that, you know, hits me this way. So maybe I'll go through it and highlight some stuff.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do that next week. We love you guys, but we got to go. We got like 40 seconds left. So thank you for listening. It was on and popping. We will be back. Hopefully next week. So love you guys. We out.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents the Dave and GC Rock Show. Thanks for joining our informative, stimulating, thought-provoking, and entertaining show. Welcome.
Welcome. Good show, Regal. Man.
Actually, we had, for not really preparing much of anything, that kind of flew by, so.
Yeah, I think we did pretty good. And yeah, make sure you hold on to that, and we'll continue that next week.
Yeah, I mean, because it's, I think, it's in other words, it's big enough to, I think, influence like all you know, the big, huge Democrats that kind of know what's going on, but can't say it.
Right.
You know, these guys have, you know, private meetings and stuff with, you know, the Klaus Schwab types.
Yeah.
So. I'm on it. I didn't even really, I wouldn't have even known about this, but for the Dan Bongino show. I mean, he's the one, and he really didn't. He did probably one segment of one show on this, and I was like, well, wait a minute. So then, you know, you go to the regular homepage. And it doesn't really, you know, you can pick up a few, you know, key words and buzzwords and talking points and stuff like that. You can pick up a few things on that. But when you do your search for the Great Reset World Economic Forum and you get this, which is all I did to get those two things that I sent you. And in fact, one thing was a link from the other.
Right.
So I couldn't get these pages from the homepage. But
yeah, I tried the same thing because if you notice, I put it up in the chat, the article. I put it in the chat
room. Oh, did you? No, I was on the wrong.
I had to copy that from the link that you sent me because I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it when I went to the website.
Yeah, you can't find this you know, segment of their website until you do the search that says the Great Reset World Economics Forum. That will take you to this. And like I said, it's the same website, weforum.org. You know, it's the same – the same thing. I just didn't know how to navigate to this part of it.
Right.
What who has time for all that?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I had the same problem. So I typed the title of the article in Google, and that's how I found it.
Yeah.
Because I could not find it on the website. I was navigating. I went to their COVID part, and it wasn't there. They had a whole bunch of other articles, but I couldn't find that particular article. So I typed it up in Google, and bam, it popped up. So man, that's just so funny, man. Everything that you have mentioned was in my head all week. All the topics that we talked about were all the topics that I wanted to talk about on the show today. Those were the topics I wanted to talk about on the show. I just don't know how we got there.
Well, I'm the man.
Yeah, you are.
I have no idea. And then some of the stuff that, you know, I definitely wanted to hit this World Economic Forum thing. I definitely want to at least, you know, start to talk about it and start making connections with, you know, this is what we're seeing, this is where it comes from, you know, and just try to like start putting that stuff together. I definitely wanted to start doing that. I knew we weren't going to analyze this whole thing today, but it kind of triggered what it triggered, and I'll listen to it later, but I know I went off on some things that I didn't plan on, but it just kind of hit me, and it's, you know, one of those things where you tap into a vein and it, you just kind of like keep going with it.
Yeah. All of it worked. It was good.
Did we have anybody on the phone today? Was Susie with us?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
She was there.
Because I didn't see anybody in the chat room other than Bigfoot, and then apparently bringing it came later. But I was on a different. I was on the World Economic Forum website, so I did.
Yeah.
Another window to open.
Yeah, I had got the link to Sue a little bit late because I was running late. And once I got home from work, I jumped on the machine. I'm doing dialysis, and I completely forgot until about it was close to like 6 o'clock. I'm like, oh crap! I was like,
well, that's about when you texted me. We good?
Yeah, I completely forgot. I mean, there's been so much junk going on, especially at my job and everything that we got going on over there. So, you know, I've been working late and doing overtime and everything else like that. So it's hard for everything to come together. That's why I didn't even jump on Blog Talk. It was what, 6:50?
I don't know,
or something like that.
I don't know. I jumped on probably around then, and I was getting just the music, and then that's why I texted you. Are you online yet? Because I wanted to know if, like, last time I was on, I was talking for a half an hour and I was not broadcasting. So I wanted to find out as soon as possible if the microphone and shit worked. So
yeah, I had just got off the machine. I mean, I got home early enough where I instantly jumped on a machine, so I ended up getting technically off the machine at like 6:45, and I was like, all right, good, I got 15 minutes. So then I had to gather all my stuff and come downstairs, because when I try to broadcast from my bedroom where my machine is, it breaks up too much.
Yeah, it's too skippy. Yeah
I have to cast from right now. I do it in my studio because I don't have a router down there yet, and that's in the basement. So it's reception is not going to be good at all. So I do it from my dining room table. So yeah, I had to gather all my stuff, run downstairs, and see before I get down here, because there's a dead zone on my stairs. Yes, every single time, if I connect in my bedroom and then I run down the stairs, every single time, by the time I get down to the dining room, it connects. And I have the hardest time connecting back up. Like that one, like a show a couple before where I couldn't get my mic to work. It was because I ran across that dead zone and I unplugged my headphones and everything else like that. And then when I plugged them back up, they didn't want to work. Blog Talk just wouldn't let me. So I had to call in through my phone. So yeah, it's it's a lot. But I'm waiting to talk to AT&T, had this guy come by and install a new router in my basement so that I can hook directly into the router. Hopefully I won't have those those skipping problems.
Will that fix the dead zone too on your stairs?
No, I don't know what I can do to fix that dead zone.
Buy another Wi-Fi booster or something and put it there.
Yeah,
I guess.
Something. Yeah, because it does it with my cell phones too. Cell phone will disconnect when I'm going down the stairs. If I'm talking to somebody and I'm going outside or coming down to the kitchen or something. I go upstairs. Yeah, so it's crazy. But it's all good.
It's all good. It's all gravy. And we love gravy.
And we love gravy. Yeah. You know, what I do want to try and talk about probably next week, it might get us banned, but I'm gonna see how far we can go. But I'll talk about how they're redefining words and words that we can't use now. You know, like fag, midget, the N-word, all that other stuff. I want to talk about that. I want to get into that. But I want to finish this World Economic Forum stuff. That I want to. And when you can, check out that Zoom call. And listen how crazy these people are. They are nuts. Yeah. But, I mean, just article, you can tell that they're nuts.
Exactly. You know, I read these things, and in the back of my head, I'm saying, who the hell do you think you are? Right?
Yep. Yeah.
You get to decide equity?
Right.
Excuse me. You get to decide equal outcomes?
Yeah.
No. Because equal outcomes means I'm smarter than my neighbor. I have to hold myself back so that I don't make more than him.
Right.
That's what that means. And I'm sorry, but screw that.
Exactly.
Well, why should I not? I hope I put this in one of my books. I don't know. Why should I not do the very best that I can for myself and my family? Why should I hold myself back because other people can't keep up? And mostly they can't keep up because they've made poorer decisions than I.
Right.
You know, if you're a junkie, right, why should you get the same outcome that I do because I go to work every day.
Right.
Right?
Right.
That's the problem that I have with that word equity or equality or equality of outcomes. Equitable outcomes. Moreover, here it is right here. Moreover, governments should implement long overdue reforms that provide more equitable outcomes.
Yep.
Well, who the hell are they to decide that things are equal? What, that things should be equal? Nothing needs to be equal. You need to reap what you sow.
Yeah.
Period.
If you're going to sit on your butt, you need to reap what you sow.
Exactly. So that's how that works.
Your outcome is going to be exactly what you put into it. And that's the way it should be.
But the way they're saying it is, and the way that, for instance, like Democrats for a long time, even from like the Obama administration, they're saying, you know, no matter if anybody that wants a job, blah, blah, blah. If, what do you mean anybody that wants a job? You know what I'm saying? That's the first thing that came to my mind when I heard that phrase. Anybody that wants a job can get a job. What's that got to do with anything? You need to go to work and provide. You know, you need to support yourself. You need to sustain yourself. Well, they want, obviously, everybody dependent on government.
Exactly.
So that they can, you know, they can control not only the people that they give money to, but the people that they take money from to give the money to the people too. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that's the problem that I have with that. It's the problem I've always had with that is you can't legislate equality.
Right.
Because, I mean, not without exploitation, abuse, and, you know, just waste, just grift. You know, you got all this money that you can give to these people. Well, you get to decide which people get that money. Well, I mean, that's kind of like corrupt.
Yeah. And trillions of dollars later, those people are in the same place. They haven't moved because they have reason to move. So they're in the same place, but yet they want you to sympathize for their plight of them not doing anything, and the government rewarding them for not doing anything, but punishing us.
No, the government is rewarding them for voting for them.
Ah, yes, yes. You are correct. The government is rewarding them for voting for them and punishing us for not.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, that was kind of like the theme of Bongino today was the ideology of punishment for non-compliance, basically. You know, you need to buy an electric car. Well, I don't want an electric car. Well, it doesn't matter. You need to buy.
Yeah.
Buy an electric car.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What? No. What I'm saying is you need to buy an electric car. Oh, so if I buy an electric car. No. What I really, 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 really mean is you need to buy an electric car and like it. And vote for us because
you like it. Yeah,
I don't know. I'm just prattling on.
And you know they still haven't figured out in you know 5 or 6 years what are you going to do with that dead battery from that electric car?
Oh yeah, they have no
idea that you got to pay $6,000 to replace.
We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Now, listen to this though, seriously, and that is you bring up a brilliant point. Another point that I heard today, you know, was like an argument of you need to invest 3 hours every 200 miles that you drive. You can't drive across the country, right? You can drive 200 miles. Then you have to invest like 3 hours of your time instead of just, you know, 5 minutes to fill the gas tank again. You need to wait. Right? So you need to wait three 3 hours until your car charges up again. Okay.
Yeah.
What about this? Okay, let's say that let's pretend for a minute that I am on board with the whole electric thing. 200 miles now. I got to wait for 3 hours. I'm gonna have a cup of coffee, you know, whatever. While I'm waiting for my battery to charge. Do you have a barbecue grill by any chance?
Yes.
Do you have a propane tank? What we have, I don't know what they have down there. You can take an empty propane tank to, for example, Walmart, and you can exchange it for price for a full one.
Yeah, you can do that up here.
Okay.
I did have a gas.
It doesn't seem like an outrageous thing. So.
Right.
But why? Can't you, instead of having a charging station, why don't you have it so that you can just, you know, make the battery so that you can, instead of a 400-pound battery, you know, make it so that you can turn in your old battery, put a new one in, and off you go.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, you know, they can be charging these other batteries for whoever comes in next in 3 hours.
That would make sense.
Dead battery.
That would make sense.
You know, have a battery exchange thing.
Yeah, that would make sense. I don't think anybody's thought about that. Hey, Sue is still here, and she's got her hand up.
All right, put her in.
She's got her hand up.
You may as well put her
in. Let me see if I can... Yeah, there we go. Hey, Sue, what's happening?
Hey, hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
yes.
We got you.
Oh, okay. I was going to let you know I did get your show up, but I forgot to tag you like I did. And I did, your show is the only show that I get very many likes. And usually if they like it, that means they're either going to listen to it or they're going to go back and listen in the archives.
Oh.
So hopefully you'll get, you know, like some more listens with that. But I don't get that with the other VTR shows anymore. You know, your show is about the only show I really get that with. And so, anyway, it was a great show. I just wanted to let you know that. Usually I try to tag you. I did it at kind of the last minute. I went, you know, back. And so I only got it out once, but I got it out to quite a few people, and they returned it, too.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah,
anyway,
every little bit helps.
Show.
We lucked into a pretty decent show tonight, so we had already decided that.
Yeah, it was really good. Well, I'm gonna let you guys. I always love your after show too, so I'm just enjoying listening to you guys now. But I just wanted to let you know that little bit of it, and hopefully there'll be some more people listening in. But I do think people really enjoy your show. It's different than the other BTR shows that are out there right now.
That's weird. All right. Well, that's like, in what way though?
In just the way that you cover it and everything. The other shows, I was telling G-Ski the last time, some of them are almost pitting people against each other, and they're getting all into this Trump versus DeSantis versus, you know, all that kind of crap, which doesn't need to be brought into right now, and people really don't like it. And, you know, just things like that. I know the last, I was really disturbed. I listened to Vito's last show. Vito wasn't there, and Al was on, and I went on that show for quite a while, but I was just really upset because they were saying that Zelensky was a Soros puppet and that there was only like 500 deaths in Ukraine and it was all propaganda, and I mean really off the wall things. And,
well,
you know, I just couldn't take it. We
didn't cover that, any of that today. And
yeah,
I don't know.
And
I don't know about G-Ski. I think I mentioned it. Remember we talked when I was still in Florida? Remember we talked on the phone?
Yeah.
There?
Yeah.
And you said something about Ukraine and, you know, what do you think about that? I think, to me, there is so much information that you can get on every single side, you know. The topic is like a diamond, and every little flat spot is an angle that you can.
Oh,
so I have no idea what to think. You know, I hear this, I hear that,
well,
I hear,
you know,
this, I hear that.
They were putting it out. This is fact. You know, and I had to get on there and say, what's your sources? Where's your facts? You know, and one of them got kind of, you know, Paul, he got a little, I think, upset at me. I'm out of here, you know, and stuff. But I mean, you just can't do that as a BTR host. You have a responsibility as a BTR host to present the facts. You can give your opinion, but by God, research thing, and don't put it out there as, you know, this is the God-awful truth, and if you don't believe it, you're an idiot, you know.
Right. Well,
you can't do that.
I think one thing that G-Ski and I do is, you know, we have an opinion on something, we say, okay, now let's get this straight. This is just our opinion, you know. And we're pretty good with that. If we have If we list something as, you know, as a fact or, you know, whatever the truth is, we've got sources that, mm-hmm. that we can go to. So, like today, my source was the World Economic Forum website. This is what they say they want to do. And we were reading off of that. So that's what I call a fact. It's not a conspiracy. Because we're reading them.
Well, their stuff.
You know, another BTR host that I had followed, which I doubt if I'll ever go to again, had said in their show, now they haven't had a show for 2 weeks. I had a pretty long DM with them. But in their show, listen to what they said. They said that when Trump gets elected in 2024, if he does, he's going to be in the GOP pocket, and he'll just be another one of them, a globalist.
See,
can
and,
you believe it? This is one of our, you know, what I used to consider our family. Now, what the hell did that need to be put out? You know, and I invite people to this. I tell you, after Vito's show, I lost almost 2,000 followers because a discussion occurred in open Twitter with me and Al. And it was bad. And I kept saying, I don't want to do this here, you know. And it was bad. I got attacked. And, you know, I even almost this show, I didn't even want to put out a show because I was like, you know, I just don't know if I can handle this or deal this, you know, because they're getting pretty bizarre out there. And I just, you know, but at least your show, I can count on it, you know, and it's not going to offend people. And I think that's why the ones I put the show out to tonight, I think that's why they retweeted it and they like it. I always like to see the likes. Almost more than the retweets, because that tells me they want to keep it, you know, and they're probably going to listen to it.
Nice.
Yeah.
So keep doing what you're doing. But, yeah, I'm pretty concerned with some of these BTR shows. I've had some discussions. I talked to Vito, and, you know, maybe they can get stuff kind of like back together again, but... Yeah, you're right. This Ukraine thing, I think just stay away from it for a while because we don't know what's going on except for one thing. It's not a Putin gas hike.
Yeah, we definitely know that.
Yeah,
and so, you know, out there, of course, everybody's countering with that. They're putting Biden... Or I think they're using Biden price hike is what they're doing, you know. That something just came across my Twitter. You guys may want to, just take a look at it. I guess I haven't watched the news today, but I guess it was on the 5, that Russia has taken off all the Western flags off of their space shuttles. And they're threatening to leave the one American astronaut up in space.
Oh, wow.
See, I don't know if it's true, but it was on the spot.
I would automatically, you know, be suspicious of that.
Yeah.
Well, I would too, but, you know, I don't know if this whole thing is getting crazy. Yeah, and that's something that shouldn't be on the show, but I just thought, you know, wow. And I took another look at it and everything. And, you know, that's Fox News. That evidently they were showing pictures of, you know, them taking the I guess they've got the Western flags to fly on their space shuttle and everything. But I don't think you really got to worry about it.
The propaganda is flying so rampant right now. There's so much propaganda.
Right.
Both directions, all directions. I mean, even things we don't even care about. I just need to wait and see. You know, I mean, I think obviously Putin should not be invading, bombing, you know, the Ukraine right now. It's just,
right.
The fact that they would rather fight him. I was watching a TikTok, and it was of a Ukrainian guy rolling up in his car on like some Russians that were in some kind of a big vehicle, whatever. They were sitting on the side of the road. And he says, hey, he says, you guys, I can give you a tow, but I can only tow you as far as Russia. And then, they all laughed.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny. It was one of those things where people are people, okay? First and foremost, people are people.
Right.
They're talking amongst each other. Nobody wanted to shoot the other one. He says, "Hey, if you need a tow, I can give you a tow, but I honestly can really only tow you as far as Russia." That was pretty funny.
That's funny. Now, those things are, they're funny, but even that, man, you don't put that on Twitter. Right now things are still
not right
so
now.
Crazy.
No.
I'm watching a YouTube channel, and this guy, he's Russian, him and his wife, and they've been on YouTube, maybe 5 years or so. And he's taught himself how to speak English, watching like Harrison Ford movies and all that kind of stuff, him and his wife.
All right.
And they have this channel, and address it. They call the people. They started it with United States. They have like 320 some thousand followers now. But anyway, they call the people from the United States adorable, and he go, "My adorables," and he's fascinating. But his last couple, 4 shows that he's put that out, he's talked about the sanctions and everything, in Russia. He looks really stressed, the poor guy. I think maybe he's worried, but he's still got as many people watching him and loving him and his wife and his little baby, and it's just a real cute show. And it was an eye-opener. And then I'm slowly going backwards because I only found him like 2-3 months ago. Maybe longer. But anyway, I'm going backwards because he's just so fascinating, learning about everything. And one show that he did, I don't know, maybe, it was over a year ago, a couple of years ago, that he said, a lot of you adorable say you want to come to Russia, because he did a show on what things cost in America, in Russia, and he's real smart, and he'll take the rubles and he'll do it into U.S., how much it would cost there. And I guess people were saying they wanted to go there. And he said, "Listen, adorables, I got to tell you, you say you want to come to Russia. Well, let me tell you this." And so he goes on and he talks about wages and pensions in Russia. And he said the most important profession that should be in the entire world is a teacher. But man, these people don't get paid anything. Even their doctors, unless they're in a private clinic, only get $800 a month. A doctor.
Oh, wow.
And wow.
Yeah. The ones who make the money are the police. And I don't know, maybe Russia's not monitoring him. I hope not. But he said our police are government. And he said, in the United States, I think, he does this kind of broken English. I think the police, you see them and you think they help you. He said, in Russia, we see the police and, we kind of like want to run because, they might harass you, come after you. And he said they make, through bribes and everything, around $8,000 a month. Yet a doctor makes $800 a month.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Well, let me drop this in because, like I said, after Rush Limbaugh, I've switched to Dan Bongino from 12 to 3. That's when I'm delivering mail, you know. So he was in the Secret Service, and he did a little bit of time in, you know, in Russia just for whatever reasons, getting sites ready for, you know, a presidential visit or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he was telling about the time he went over there, and the person that was he said as a because you know you learn this stuff as a New York cop, little clues and things like that. He said it looked like the police equipment was like old and rusty and just not, you know, and they came across like as not really professional. And they were visiting a like an exchange program facility. So if you were from another country and you wanted to learn Russian, tactics or whatever, you know, like an exchange program for police, here's where you'd be staying. And the guide that they had was really, really proud of this facility, you know, that he was, you know, he really indicated that it was really a good facility. And he's like, but we're looking at the thing and it's like the toilet is like a hole in the ground and there's weeds coming through where the door is and stuff. So at that point, you know, I'm listening to this today, and at that point I'm remembering back, G-Ski, remember the interview I referenced with Addy from Germany?
Yep.
Sue, I don't know, maybe you were with us when I interviewed that lady from East Germany.
I was trying to remember, but I don't remember that.
You don't? Okay.
I don't know. How long ago was that?
It was back when we were doing these things. So,
I should have. I just don't remember it because I started with you. Remember on Twitter,
yeah.
You kept after me. I hadn't listened to any radio shows.
Right.
And you were just doing your show alone.
Well,
you bought one
of my books, and that's why I was like after you.
that's what put me after you.
But anyway, so check this out. This is hilarious. Okay, to me, this is hilarious. When the Russians, okay, they rolled into Germany, right? And that was before there was an East and West Germany. There was a Germany. The Russians rolled in, and then there was some kind of an agreement. I don't know what it was called, but then there was an East and West Germany. America supported the West, and the Russians had the East part. And there was the wall, the Berlin Wall, right? Well, one of the things that she was saying was that the Russian soldiers, the Russian soldiers were stupid. And she was like a little kid, okay? She was like a little, you know, 6, 7, maybe 8 years old, okay? Little kid.
Yeah.
And she was like, these guys are idiots. I remember her telling me about that. She said, they were so fascinated at the flush toilet. They thought that this was a thing to wash potatoes in. That's how stupid these guys were.
You know, when I was in living in Santa Fe, my next door neighbor, she had actually escaped from, going through a tunnel under the Berlin Wall when she was you know, just a little kid.
Yeah, obviously, the little tiny kid.
Yeah, but, you know, she told me, we talked about it one time. She really didn't want to talk about it too much, but one time she did. And what she described it was like, you know, on that side of the Berlin Wall.
Yeah,
that. And she, right after the Berlin Wall fell, she took a trip back to Germany. And, you know, this was probably a couple of years after it fell. She went back to their home, and she said it hadn't changed at all.
Wow.
No, you know, no indoor plumbing, no, you know, anything.
Right.
Yeah, it's just, it's amazing. But,
well,
yeah, you know, this guy is great to watch on TV. And, you know, he's not one way or the other. He just went into the grocery store, and of course, that was those videos he did, you know, right after, you know, Russia invaded and they first started sanctions. And he showed, and, you know, nothing he really changed at all in the stores, you know, whatsoever.
Well, you can go back and probably hear in our old archives. That lady Addie, when she was a kid,
how do I get to those archives?
I don't know. You have to go back into 2020 radio or something, G-Ski or something. Is that what was your?
Oh crap! Let me look. But wasn't you were doing it on my show at the time?
Yeah. I was on your account. So you had 2020, GC Rocks and the Captain, and then on a different night it was me, you know, and then I think it was just you and me.
Captain. Yeah. I remember
But check this out. One of those things was where she was saying that she got out of East Germany on a train rolled up inside a carpet.
Oh,
wow.
And
it
she
was
thought
it was amazing.
And
wasn't
she
it
thought, okay, right. But she thought that at any minute they were going to like dump like machine gun rounds through that carpet because they had dogs and shit like that. When they were coming through the train, they had dogs and it would checking everything out. She was inside the thing, and she, you know, she was aware of the dogs, and she said, okay, this is where the bullets are going to come, you know. She thought that was it.
How old was she?
What's that?
How old was she?
I think at that point, she was like probably, you know, preteen, you know, 12, you know, 11, 12, maybe 13. She was telling us stories when, you know, when the Americans were occupying their section that she, you know, the kids would go out begging for food. Okay. Matter of fact, her parents had to sell one of their siblings to a guy who ended up sexually abusing that sibling. She had only made contact, like, you know, decades later with this person that was her sibling, you know, and you know, the mother couldn't afford to feed the kids. So she ended up selling, you know, one of them off to somebody who could feed the kids. But the other ones that stayed, they would go out. She would say, I remember she said she would go outside of a building that she knew the Americans were in, or, you know, second, third floor or something like that. And she would hold open her, like, her apron. She would hold it up, and the guys would throw, like, food and stuff down, and she would catch it in the apron and then run home, and they would eat it. But begging.
You know, it's just amazing. And you know what? What I think a lot of people don't realize is, and I'm really starting to see a lot of this with this one YouTube I'm watching. They're really, you know, the Russians are really good people. Where, you know, you've got the bad police there, you've got, you know, like Putin control, and, you know, you've got all of these things, and it's been going, you know, backwards for a while. But the basic Russian people, you know, I don't know. I'm hearing, you know, they're protesting, a lot are getting arrested, you know, and you're hearing these things about the soldiers saying they thought they were going on war maneuvers. They didn't know that, you know, it was going to be an invasion. You know, all of this sooner or later will come out. But, you know, we're all just people.
Right. And that's what I said a minute ago.
It's really
people
sad.
Are people.
It's, yeah. And on either side, and they're suffering on both sides. And,
right.
You know, I could just tell, you know, he wants to give information out in his last video that he did, you know, about how sanctions, and that was a couple of weeks ago. I hope he's going to come back on and wasn't picked up for something. But anyway, you know, I could tell he was a little stressed, but he didn't say anything, you know. But he just wanted to say, look, this is what it's like in the stores and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I was surprised with
Russia. Is that what he still lives in Russia and he's on YouTube? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. He's still in Russia.
Oh,
I mean,
all right. I thought he was out of Russia and was talking about what Russia was like when he was there. Okay. All right. That's different.
No, he's in Russia right
that's
now.
Wild.
Yeah, he hasn't, you know, but he definitely doesn't get put. I mean, that wages and pensions was the most political I've ever seen him. I was really, really surprised when he talked about, you know, the police, and he also talked about the politicians. He said a little bit about, you know, you adorables in America, you elect your politicians. He said, in Russia, we don't elect our politicians. And then he talked about, you know, a little corruption, and he said they can make, you know, $16,000 to millions of dollars.
Wow.
You know, and yeah, so I was surprised with that video, you know, him being in Russian and, you know, saying something like that. But most of his videos are just so, they're so cute, and he's got a cute little baby, and he really loves the United States, and his English is getting better. But yeah, him and his wife, they liked the United States, and so they started getting these Rambo and Harrison Ford and all those movies and would watch them, and the Russian would be underneath. And that's how they're teaching themselves to speak English.
I wonder how he liked Rambo 3.
Well, I don't even know if he watched it. He said some of the movies they watched.
Rambo
like
3 was about the Russians in Afghanistan in the 80s.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that. Oh, yeah. Well, I think his was the original Rambo.
The
Harrison Ford one that they watched was Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and so, you know, they thought that was a real good movie, but it was a good movie to learn English. But,
Russian guy on TikTok that has an account, and he's a guy that just gets on there and says, you know, they're saying this about that, here's what it really is, you know. As far as I think he's outside of Russia, but he's giving you the Russian perspective of
still know people in Russia. I think they're still trying, you know, to like communicate or whatever. Yeah, it's been an eye opener there, and so anyway, I put out a few of his videos, you know, on sanctions and things. I put it on, I think Getter is where I put it. I put more things on Getter than I do Twitter. A little bit safer there.
and after all of this. You know, the three of us are still sitting here thinking we really don't know what to believe from whom.
Yeah, you know, and it's just, I'm so glad you're staying away from it because, but man, I had to get in there. Now, I do believe in Zelensky because I have looked into him, and he was a comedian. You know that, don't you?
He was a comedian?
Zelensky was a big comedian in the Ukraine. Oh, you know, that's where he got all of his money and everything.
No,
and
I did not know that.
He got fed up with it, and so he ran. And he wasn't supposed to win. His election in 2018 was like Trump's in 2020. And they were just absolutely shocked when
Trump
he ran.
In 2016.
He won.
You mean Trump's in 2016?
No, he ran in 2019. He was inaugurated in 2019.
Right, but I mean, it wasn't Trump's in 2020 because Trump lost that one. You mean Trump's 2016?
Oh, I see.
Trump endorsed him, didn't he? Didn't Trump endorse his election?
That I could find because I really tried to do a lot of research on him.
Well, either that or he stayed out of it. But that was the whole thing about the quid pro quo thing. He was like, Zelensky is the guy that'll get things done and type of thing. I think Trump liked Zelensky rather over the other guy.
Oh yeah, he did. But see, Zelensky is so much like Trump from what I have read and I found. He won with a 79% landslide, and the one thing that he said he was going to do is because, you know, all of their parliament and all of that kind of stuff, they were all corrupt.
Yeah.
The first day he was going to disband it, and he did. He was sworn in. He went into the parliament, and he said, you're gone. You're all gone. And he opened elections. And from what I saw, Trump had a meeting with him, but he wouldn't commit to Trump either. He's very much, from what I'm seeing, like Trump. You know, I got elected on my own. I'm not emboldened to anybody else. I don't know what's going on yet. And so this is what I'm going to do. He met with him briefly, but that was it. You know, and so I do kind of like him from everything that I've seen, but I think he's the closest thing I've seen to Trump, you know. In the world as far as elections goes. But yeah, he was a big name comedian, and he became a millionaire, you know, with his shows and everything. And then he got fed up, you know, with the politicians and what was happening. And so he ran, and, you know, it was the same. If you go back and you look at all of the, you know, the Ukrainian, the news channels, and they were making fun of him, and he didn't stand a chance. And then, boom, he won with a 79% landslide, and he didn't know anything to anybody. So, you know, anyway, that's just interesting. And so that's, you know, I'm watching him if he's able to live through this.
Yeah, and the captain, my buddy, he's his ancestry goes back to Ukraine, and he's actually hanging his Ukrainian flag from his garage now.
Oh, and, cool! That is so cool. Does he have people still over there?
You know what? I haven't asked him that. I will talk to him about that. I think he might.
Yeah, usually they do. Usually, yeah, there's some who stay and everything. I just know the whole thing is horrible. I don't think it would have happened if it hadn't been for Biden. And I think, you know, the one thing I do believe in is I think Biden and Cheney and all the warmongers, they want another war. They wouldn't be unhappy if there was World War III. And, you know, every time we've been in a recession, we come out of the recession through a world war, right? Look back at World War I, World War II, and that's because people go to the factories. But a lot of people make a lot of money with all of these arms. You know, all these congressmen and, you know, the Bushes and the Cheneys and all of that, they're making money hand over foot with all of this. Stingers and missiles and everything that they're sending.
And that's, to me, okay, that's one of the things that's suspect about all the events that are going on, because you can look back in history and match them up to, you know, the what's coming next. You know, I don't want to have what's coming next to be coming next based on what's going to come next.
Well, you know, the only thing I think that, and I don't know if this, I think, you know, well, it's not Biden anymore. He doesn't have a brain left, you know, but the puppets behind him, whether, you know, I think Obama's pulling strings because Obama wants, you know, he's always been his sect, his Muslim sect is Iranian.
Biden has two or three doubles, so don't forget that.
I keep looking and say, you know, when he does able to talk, I keep thinking, can't be him, can't be him.
Which guy is this? Which one is this?
I'm interested. You know, my diabetes, my eyesight has gotten so bad I can't read anymore, but I listen to audiobooks, and one of them I'm listening to now is Laptop from Hell, and it's a journalist who has investigated the Hunter laptop. And if she's right, which she found, she said, I did this with a year's investigation. You don't think that the FBI doesn't know this? But, you know, that laptop went way, way back there. And in it, evidently, she says there's text between Biden and Biden's doctor, Abdul, or whoever his doctor is. And Hunter is texting back with him about, you know, Joe, I don't know, doing something or something with the money. And the doctor says
Sue, I don't mean to cut you off, but we're about to get cut off.
Oh, you got to. Oh, okay. Yeah. But anyway, they knew a long time ago he had Alzheimer's.
Yeah, they're
anyway,
about to cut us off.
I didn't mean to talk.
I think everybody listening will enjoy it, too. But yeah, we're about to get cut off, Dave. So, Sue, thank you so much. We appreciate it. And, Dave, I'll holler at you later.
Okay, all right. You guys. Bye.
All right.
See ya.
See ya.
It's an hour and a half ago. It says 43 minutes ago.
Yeah.
All right. Good show, buddy. We got to go.
All right.
My wife's yelling at me. So.
I'll holler at you. Have a good one. Tell the wife I said hi.
I will. See ya.
All right. See ya.